and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Dog in here?
Yes.
Okay. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. The whole family's here. You know why? Why else?
Why else?
It's a magical day. Speaking of family, Jackie Scheckner, Nurse Jackie, live in studio.
Finally!
In hour number three, we'll have a Jackie's Healthcare Corner, and Jim will, of course, grope her, as he does.
As long as he doesn't poop on her.
Yeah. Stop it.
What?
Stop making fun of Jim's gastrointestinal situation.
He's having ass problems again.
It's not ass problems.
Oh,
yeah, it is.
Apologies to both of you. Okay, also, Michael Tomasky of the Daily Beast. What a show we have.
Yep.
It's all in the family. And first, do we even have a new jingle?
Yeah.
Speaking of family, Rocky Mountain Mike with a new jingle for our good friend. Good morning, Carl Frisch. Good morning, Carl Frisch.
Good morning.
That was dramatic, wasn't
it? Quick silver messenger service.
Yes, I didn't understand a word of it, but I'm going to go back and listen to it later.
Yes, you just put that on a loop in your iPod, as the kids say. Happy State of the Union week.
Thank you. You know, just once I would like a president to say, the State of our Union is fabulous.
As John Stewart said, he's in the phase of his presidency.
Precisely. I mean,
yes.
And what a phase it is.
Yes, you had said, because you were also taken with, what's her name? Kathy McMorris Rogers.
Oh, yeah, she was great, wasn't she?
Wasn't she homie? You had tweeted, the true state of the union lies in your heart. What the does that mean? Is what Carl Frisch tweeted? What?
I was like, it's like something you say when you're running for sixth grade homeroom club captain.
Yeah.
Like, no, the true spirit of Conowaga Middle School lies in all of us.
Wow.
It's true. Somebody had said, what did it say, Chris? Somebody emailed that she sounded like it was from a Disney education film about menstrual cycles.
Yes. And so I got sent that very film.
Oh, I see.
Oh, wow.
Yes, I watched it.
I gotta tell you, though, Judy Blume was the best response that we've had.
That's right.
So far.
Are you there, God? It's me, Margaret.
Right.
The true state.
And then,
let's break that down.
She's bringing him at home, and then she's like, oh, and God, we stand before thee. We will do a better job, God, to earn your blessings. I was like, God, this GOP God sounds very vindictive.
Yeah, I don't think God was elected to anything.
Yikes. By the way, I don't know who that was an impression of, but that was good. That was
Thank
a little,
you.
Little I don't know, Scarlett O'Hara, a little something.
Yeah, I'm working on my characters.
Okay.
Pilot season's coming up.
Yeah.
You had a fabulous idea. You said, wait, it's Senator Rand Paul giving the State of the Union response? Ugh, RuPaul would have been way more entertaining.
Yeah.
I would have paid top dollar for RuPaul to give the response.
It would have been awesome. Or if someone switched them at the last minute to
yes.
watch the fun.
And then RuPaul says, don't even, it up.
Even if we just put Rand Paul in drag, I mean, something would fix that hair, I'm sure.
Yes.
I have to say, of all my years, and I'm a broken down old talk show hack, wow, when I had RuPaul on my late night show, and yeah. I asked my favorite answer ever from a guest, I said, what are your breasts made of, when I hugged her? And she said, Egg McMuffins, who's hungry? God, that's a good comeback.
Yeah.
You had said, we cannot get off of this Michael Grimm character, can we?
Oh.
You said if all GOPs were named after their dispositions like Michael Grimm, I'm sure we'd have at least one representative racist McCrazy Pants.
And you know, it'd be crazy.
Why can't they all be names for exactly who they are?
I said we'd have at least one, which means we'd probably have more than one.
Oh, yeah.
And that would be very confusing.
Yeah.
Do you think that Michael Grimm gets his steroids from Trey Riddell guy?
Trey Riddell.
That got busted for cocaine.
As you said, what an asshat.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is, I mean, it is kind of hilarious. So, we have all this tape of Chris Christie bullying. And, when I first heard that, I thought it was a joke. I mean, it is out of The Godfather or something. I'm going to break you in half and throw you over a railing.
Well, and then we found out yesterday that it wasn't the first time. Apparently, he had been on New York One. And for people that aren't familiar, New York is so big that it has its own C-SPAN.
Yep.
Right. New York One.
And Errol Lewis, who you've probably seen on MSNBC or CNN, he's a well-respected political journalist in New York City, He is the anchor of the politics show in on New York One, and apparently last year in December or November, he had Michael Grimm on to talk about issue X and started talking about the corruption and campaign finance scandal. And after they went to, you know, break, the congressman lit up and said, "You want to take this outside?"
So, wow.
Something crazy is, you know, going on here. And I think, you know, he finally realizes that he may be losing his grasp on reality and his seat.
And what a dummy. The guy's mic'd up.
Yeah.
He's just, what a, you know, it's like the big, dumb, macho, stupid. I just hate that. And I mean, and, you know, here's this guy, obviously New York One, Cub reporter. He's like barely 5 feet tall. It's like, boy, what a big man,
yeah.
Right? To threaten him.
Yeah, well, I mean, to threaten anybody. I mean, and you're right. What kind of an idiot does it right in front of a camera?
That
but
kind.
Not just right in front of a camera, but in a room full of reporters and other cameras too.
Yeah.
You know, when the State of the Union is through, there's this area called Statuary Hall that people probably see these members of Congress getting interviewed at, and they're all over the place.
Yeah.
Yeah. excuse me. Pardon me. Yeah, I mean, it really, and somebody, I think, it was Joan Walsh, I thought, our friend, wrote a good piece about, it's interesting, you know, with the Super Bowl coming up, Carl, who's the cornerback? Richard Sherman, sorry,
yeah,
I'm missing the sports gene, but, I mean, gets called every kind of racist name in the world, and a thug, and this and that, and, you know, this guy, that's like, you know.
The very definition
right,
of thug.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
Right, right. Yeah, and probably deservedly so. I mean, in terms of, you know, this guy not being called out or called to the carpet. I mean, he's apologized. Apparently he's going to have lunch with the reporter. I'd, you know, pay to be the fly on that awkward wall. but, you know, this is, you know, I don't think
better
any
check
Republican
the toilet. Might be
this,
like that, the scene in The Godfather. Might be some revenge.
Yeah. I don't think any Republican thought that this fourth response to the State of the Union would end up taking the attention away from the other three.
Yeah, well, I got to say, that response is the one that most shows who the Republican Party today is.
Yeah.
Just flat-out bullies, right?
I mean, you know, with Kathy McMorris Rogers, I felt like the message was the Republican Party, now with women.
We have chicks, too. you know, and someone, sadly, on a serious note, Carl, pointed out that, you know, while it's, you know, she talked movingly about her child with Down syndrome, of course, Republicans just cut money from Down syndrome.
Right.
Funding. I mean, it's just. It,
so, what's your point?
Well, and apparently she did the, you know, she voted for cuts to that kind of funding in the legislature when she was a state legislator in Washington. I mean, the real story is that, you know, for women and people that are concerned about women's issues at home, Kathy McMorris Rogers is a token in the Republican leadership. She's the only, you know, woman in leadership. And when you look at the committee chairs, you remember right at the beginning of this Congress, people were up in arms that every committee chair that Speaker Boehner had decided on and that the committees had decided on were white men.
Yeah.
And at the last minute, they swapped somebody out for the administration committee, the least important influential committee in Congress. So they swapped in a woman. That's what Republicans feel about women. And they wonder why they don't do well, because, you know, they've accused Democrats of identity politics for the last 50 years, 40 years. And their version of getting the woman vote, when it was John McCain, it's like, how do we get the Hillary voters? Let's get a chick, Sarah Palin.
exactly.
You know, when it's exactly. When they see the Hispanic population growing, it's how do we get them on our side? Let's put Rubio in there to respond to the State of the Union. And what they don't realize is that issues matter.
Yeah. Well, you know why you say all that, Carl, because you seem to have forgotten that the true state of the union lies in your heart.
Oh, God.
And it's not important, you know, what happens in the White House or the House of Congress. It's important what happens in your house, Carl.
You know why we're lucky that it doesn't lie in our collective hearts? Because with the diet that this country's on, we'd probably need to put a few stents in, maybe have an angioplasty.
Yeah.
She reminds me of the Good Witch in Wizard of Oz. You could have gone home anytime you wanted.
Oh, now you tell me.
What, you stupid? You tell
I like
me.
How they removed all the obstacles from her giving a good State of the Union. They're like, okay, the governor of Louisiana, Bobby Jindal, he looked weird when he walked towards the camera. We're going to have you sit.
Right, no walking, right?
It was very strange when...
They probably hydrated her intravenously after Marco
she
Rubio.
She still had a dry mouth. You can hear it.
We're going to load you up on Pedialyte. Yeah. We're going to get that done. Make sure that you're fully hydrated. We've noticed that some have stumbled over giving policy prescriptions. So here's just a sample line, Congresswoman. Tell us what you think. The State of the Union lies in your heart. That's about as detailed as our policy prescriptions are going to get this time around.
Were these rejected by Hallmark? I mean, seriously.
What's the name of that angry woman in the Hallmark cards? Shoebox greeting cards?
Oh, the angry old lady, yeah.
Yeah, right. I feel like maybe she was on the writing of the speech. I mean, it was just one thing after another that reminds you why the Republican Party is only favored by 23% of the people of this country.
I loved your tweet, by the way, before we go. I swear Joe Biden is literally a vice president straight out of central casting. He really is.
I mean, he's fantastic. And, you know, he's sitting there and, yeah, he pointed a few times like Joe Biden does want to do.
Yeah.
But he's also friends there.
It's like
and Speaker Boehner doesn't have any friends or else he would have pointed at people, too.
Hey, you. I know you.
Instead, John Boehner got looped up on Ripple.
Right.
Smoked a pack of Marlboro red wide bodies and had resting bitch face all night long.
Exactly. Just melted throughout the evening. Yeah, Joe Biden, I was saying, was doing that. What do you call that? The trigger, the finger trigger, the hey, didn't I see you at a party in Santa Barbara once?
I think it's called the old grandpa something.
Right.
Is he going to pull my finger?
Yeah. Oh, by the way, Rocky Mountain Mike alerts me that The Daily Show used my joke about it looked like the comedy and tragedy mask.
Oh.
Isn't that nice? I think of it as an unpaid homage. You're welcome, John.
They've done that before.
Well, you know, for people at home, there's an image going around the internet, and over John Boehner it says WTF, and over Joe Biden it says DTF. So if you don't know what those mean, you can Google it.
I think we will.
I know what WTF means.
I don't know either. People are Googling furiously. All right, Carl Frisch, delightful. Please, go enjoy your new jingle.
I will.
All
have
right.
A good one.
Love you. See you next week. Bye.
I know what WTF means. What the...
Right. Yes. I don't know what the other thing means. Okay. But I'm old. 19 minutes after the hour, we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
We have to seem like a sexy, profitable company, and we're almost pulling it off.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it.
Well, sometimes it just kills you.
No. You listen to my spinning teacher. A stroke is just weakness leaving the body.
Right.
Heart attack, weakness leaving the body. You didn't get up this early to compromise.
The more I find out about your Soul Cycle
my
class,
cult?
The less I want to...
I'm wearing a Soul Cycle shirt, and Jackie, who I also got addicted to Soul Cycle, will be here in hour number three.
In order to sign up for a class, you have to race to the computer
at noon on Monday. Right, and if you wait until 2 minutes after a certain teacher, you can't get in anymore.
That's like Southwest Airlines.
It's like getting into Studio 54 in 1978.
No, it's more like
very
Southwest
tense.
Airlines.
Listen, Oprah spun with my teacher last week in West Hollywood. It's very, very tense.
With as much as you pay for that, you should be getting concierge service.
No, it's every man for himself, every man, every woman.
That is insane.
Yeah, and then did you see there was a story in the New York Post, the new website went down on Monday, and there was mass hysteria, dogs and cats living together.
And it warranted
It was a
story in the New York Post.
Oh, glitch, please. It was just a little glitchy. The Affordable Care, now it's fine. It's all... fixed.
Oh, my God.
All right. You know when you're going to thank SoulCycle for, Jim?
Mm-hmm.
When you see how fit Jackie Scheckner is in hour number three.
Well, she has always been that way.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, she's even more so.
Maybe she'll wear something tight.
Yeah, Tommy in Columbus says, now that we have our Max Aerial Cam in, finally.
Hi, Aerial Cam.
Any chance you can get another camera so we can get full frontal Nurse Jackie? Natan, get on that. You only have an hour and a half. Or some Full Frontal Hot Brie, Melissa Fitzgerald.
All right.
Yeah, we'll get right on all of that. Oh, I mentioned Rocky Mountain Mike.
Yes.
Said Daily Show, ripping us off.
Yep.
So unusual. Because we said it looks Boner and what you call it? Biden looked like the comedy and tragedy mask.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Tim and Eureka says, they did do a really funny piece asking Hannity not to leave New York. Did you see that with the Jersey Boys cast and Nathan Lane? And
musical number.
Hilarious,
yeah.
Yes. Tim and Eureka says, what's more hysterical is that Hannity's ripping off your show format. One of his girly producers is an amateur songstress, and I do mean amateur. She has three whole song parodies poking fun at President Obama, a very poor try at mimicking the great Rocky Mountain Mike. Yeah. There's only one right. Mike. Do not try this at home. And more, he's including her and the other producer in jocular banter, a desperate attempt to try to copy Mama and the Mooks. Boy, do they suck. Zach! All right, Dave in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, kids.
Good morning.
Is it me, or did this Kathy McMorris Rogers go to the Michelle Bachmann School of Condescending Oration?
Yeah.
this kind of talking down.
Dave, have you forgotten that the true state of the union lies within your heart?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, you're yeah. right. I feel so much better now. I don't know what it was wrong with me. there's just such a strange assumption on the part of these folks that if they talk nice, that everyone's just going to go away and stop bothering them. And it really, really is condescending. I think
they need us all to move into storage room B, Dave. Why won't you just be a lamb and go along with it?
You're going to have to go ahead.
We're going to need to go ahead and move you downstairs into storage B.
No,
we have some new people coming in, and we need all the space we can get.
Hmm. By the way, Michael Grimm, the latest Republican bully, does he not look a lot like Biff from... you know, Back to the Future. Oh, Dave hung up. I'm sorry.
Oh.
I was hanging on too long, like I do to most relationships.
Yes, you were.
Okay. Doesn't he? I was trying to think, because everyone that comes out, you're like, which bully does he look the most like? Guy from Karate Kid? No, Biff. He looks like Biff. He's a little tiny bit cross-eyed, that big neck.
Yeah, he kind of looks like Billy Zabka from Karate Kid, though.
Well, if he had blonde hair, I suppose. But
oh, yeah. Biff had blonde hair.
Yeah, but Biff had that shaved kind of thing that this guy has. By the way, how much do you love, though? Just when yesterday off the top of my head, I was like, oh, my God, this is like something out of The Godfather. One of the investigations involving him involves a member of the Gambino crime.
Oh, great.
I'm like reading along. Oh, okay. All right. Well, I can see why there are a few questions.
Just underscores my theory that nothing good ever comes out of Staten Island.
Staten Island.
Yeah.
If you really, you'd say it right, there's no T. Okay. Staten Island.
I'm not from Staten Island, so I say the T.
Eh, nice. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
They think glitz, glamour, bright lights, big city, la-dee to the dock.
Right. Totally. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Michael Tomasky of the Daily Beast. In hour number two, Jackie Schechner, the triumphant return of current TV's Jackie Schechner. In hour number three, Nurse Jackie will be here.
Yep.
All right. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Oh, by the way, there was such a... whole contest going on the Republican side, what with Michael Grimm hogging the spotlight. We forgot about that douche Steve Stockman, who walked out in a huff.
The bastard's only leaving an hour and a half.
It's just, once again, like historic displays of disrespect. The Joe Wilson, you lie.
Yep.
This guy, he's the one that brought a Ted Nugent to a previous...
Oh, great.
Who's had, you know, some visits from the Secret Service over some things he's had to say about the president. Yes, Texas. Oh, he's from Texas. How unusual.
Imagine
Texas
that.
Republican Steve Stockman attended the beginning and the middle, tweeting all the way. At some point, he decided Obama's stated vision for America's future was so abhorrent, it required a physical protest. So he left. Needless to say, he said, I'm deeply disappointed. He's disappointed.
Disappointed.
Nothing hurts more than that.
Disappointed!
in the tone and content of tonight's address. Oh, he didn't like either.
No.
Oh. Even worse, Obama has, he went blah, 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 blah. Obama has openly vowed to break his oath of office and begin enacting his own brand of law through executive decree. Oh, by the way, did you know this fun fact, Jim? This president actually had the least executive actions of any president in our history thus far.
Mm-hmm.
But in case you haven't noticed, he's black. Okay. This is a wholesale violation of his oath and oath of office.
Confused says nah.
No. And a disqualifying offense. So that guy.
Mm-hmm.
That guy.
You are an idiot.
But of course the award goes to the very, very grim Michael Grimm.
Right.
Oh, who has reconsidered and decided to do something that sounds like an apology.
Well, when he was cornered by reporters,
right.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
I'm a human being, and sometimes your emotions get the better of you. And the bottom line, though, is it shouldn't happen. You shouldn't lose your cool, and that's why I apologize.
Right. And other noted bully, Rudy Giuliani, has defended him.
Yeah.
Other people. Yeah.
And might I point out that geographically, Staten Island is closer to New Jersey than it is to any part of New York.
Huh. Home of other well-known bullies.
Exactly.
Ooh, have you seen Chris Christie's latest numbers?
Oh, golly.
Oh, golly.
Yeah, nationally he's at 37% approval rating.
Yes.
And he was at 52 before this whole bridge thing? Yeah.
Yeah, I guess who knows? Who knew? Bridge America does not like big, hothead bully liars.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
No.
yes, would you like some of the fun facts about Representative Break You in Half Grimm? He's a hothead with a shady past, Jim.
Imagine that.
Daily Beast brings us the story. Before the Republican Stan Allen threatened to beat up a reporter, he brandished a gun at a nightclub and threatened to punch voters who don't like him.
Nice.
Well, that'll learn you.
That'll bring him around. Oh, well,
you need
now
to knock some sense into
head.
Them. Yes, literally, one by one. Getting voters one punch at a time. For anyone who's following Staten Island Congressman Michael Grimm's career, the fact that he would threaten to throw a television reporter off the congressional balcony after the State of the Union saying, "I will break you in half, you're not man enough, like a boy," should not come as a surprise. Grimm was elected to the House in 2010, riding that Tea Party wave that was so helpful to the country. He is a U.S. Marine, and apparently that reporter with the wrong Marine.
Apparently.
Who served in the first Gulf War turned FBI agents. Colleagues nicknamed him Mickey Suits.
Really?
For his sharp outfits.
Hey, look, it's Mickey Suits.
Democrats always thought something didn't add up. Why did he quit the FBI? Why was he photographed in his U.S. Army uniform wearing medals he hadn't seemed to earn?
Huh.
He pulled a gun at an altercation at a nightclub, only to return a few hours later, brandish the weapon again, and instruct that all the white people get out of here. Apparently his beef was with someone of a different skin color. So he just wanted to clear out all the innocent Reed white people.
Wow.
Before there were, you know. It's like, what's the scene from the movie that I always get wrong? Now You Just Can't Leave. It's not Roadhouse. It's something like that, though.
Bronx Tale.
Thank you, Natan. Bronx Tale. Right? They tell the people to leave. They won't leave. And now then they lock the doors. And they're like, and then he says, now You Just Can't Leave. Chaz Palminteri, right? Yeah, he says, now you
can't
leave.
Now
you can't leave.
I've never seen
White people,
Tale.
Get out. Now you can't leave.
Good okay. One, Natan. Wow.
Thank you, Natan. Yeah. Wow, wee. Yikes. That was a little Tourette's. He was, okay, thank you. Wow, that was a little too fast on the tip of his tongue. Tourette's. Pardon me. He got into a nearly physical confrontation with a voter who disagreed with him at the supermarket. As you do. You just grab a loaf of sourdough or something. Work that out.
Or a focaccia.
A ciabatta.
Ciabatta,
something.
Whatever it was.
No, well known for knocking sense into voters.
I forgot you a sandwich.
Another nearly physical fight with some hecklers at a Memorial Day parade.
Well, that's exactly where you want to get into a fight, is at a Memorial Day parade.
Right.
What?
Okay, so the reason he threatened to break the television reporter in half and throw him over a balcony was about a scandal that has been dogging him for over a year. It concerns Rabbi Pinto. You know, Jim,
Pinto?
That guy. Yeah.
Really?
Who? Yes. Who
Rabbi
provided
Ford
the,
Pinto?
Who provided the gateway to Grimm's massive fundraising before his first run for office. According to several reports, Grimm promised one of Pinto's top deputies help with his immigration issues if the aide helped Grimm skirt campaign finance laws. Oh, dear. According to the allegations, Grimm more than once accepted cash-stuffed envelopes envelopes.
Nothing suspicious
Mickey
about
suits
that.
Hey, Mickey Suits.
Hey, Mickey Suits.
Here's an envelope stuffed with cash. Don't worry, that won't look bad to anybody outside of Stalin.
Style.
The FBI in-house ethics committee are investigating. Oh, I can see why there was just a couple of questions. The reporter
asked. Tom Rocha has ever been to Staten Island.
Oh, God.
And 2 weeks ago, federal agents arrested another one of Grimm's associates, a Texas woman accused of funneling thousands of illegal campaign contributions to him.
Yeah, huh. So?
Hmm.
What's your point?
So, oh, here's the part Joan Walsh brings us. Let's see. Oh, FBI recently arrested one of Grimm's fundraisers for campaign finance improprieties. The business partner who helped him start a restaurant and enter politics has been tied to the
mob.
Gambino crime family.
Huh.
So, that all happened.
And we let it happen.
Right? Everything about that is just so New Jersey and New York.
Congressman Mickey Suitsy.
It's Mickey Suits.
Where's that bag of cash? Make that thing go away with the guy. Yikes, yikes. Yeah, I was saying, Joan Walsh in Salon wrote a great piece, Michael Grimm's Bullying Sickness, Who's the Real Thug Here? He was, anyway, she was talking about the whole blah, blah, blah. Oh, I forgot, he said, I'll throw you off the f***ing balcony.
Yeah.
Mm.
Right, on camera.
Yep.
Duh. Blah, 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 blah.
Well done, you.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, but she was talking about this recent Richard Sherman incident. And he said she made the point he didn't do anything physically to the other guy. He was just talking smack on TV, right? Sherman was globally denounced as a thug and worse, as ugly racial stereotypes. Stan Grimm and Sherman side by side, there's only one thug, and it's a Republican congressman. Mm-hmm. It's hard not to compare the video of Grimm's macho menace with the YouTube immortalized serial bullying of New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, which a lot of people did on the TV machine last night.
Yep.
Yeah. Anyway, so hang on. She had some more. He had one bar incident in which he got a little handsy with his female companion, and they disappeared into the bathroom stall for an extended period.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Grimm?
One witness said, "I was surprised someone so sleazy could be a congressman."
Really?
Really?
Anyway, surprised by that?
So then, okay. The second, shall we say, bar incident. Was in 1999. He scuffled with a fellow patron, threatened him with a gun, then told police he'd been assaulted when he returned to the bar with cops to search for the Caribbean man with whom he'd scuffled. He reportedly said, "All the white people get out of here." Now you just can't leave.
Chas Palminteri.
I say every morning when you get in here and I slam the door.
Now you just can't leave.
Now you just can't leave.
And then you jack
you
up
know
the
what
meat.
I realized?
What?
Because, you know, you have to work in here a little later after the show.
Yes.
You know, if I were like George Clooney of the show and I was an awesome prankster, I can lock that door from the outside because I can actually lock you in here. Like,
you want one of these windows broken?
You can't break
Oh, that. I can totally break that window.
That
good luck
on.
Crawling out of it.
Come though. On. It'd be funny. I could just exact a series of demands to text.
Nope.
Oh, you want to get out? Well,
Nope. Break that window and crawl the hell out of here.
Locks from the outside.
Nope. Break that window.
Walter.
Here's a list of demands.
Walter.
He ain't demanded
now
anything.
Now you just can't leave. You just hear the lock.
And then you hear the glass break.
Walter in Miami, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Walter.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning.
Good morning to everyone there.
Yes,
I listen to you every day.
You are a man of exquisite taste. Go ahead.
Thank you. And Ed Schultz.
Yay, you too.
Yeah. Now, why aren't we referring to the Congressman Grimm as thug Congressman Grimm?
Yeah.
He threatened to break the guy in half, throw him off the balcony, and he called him a boy. Now, isn't that thuggish?
Just a skosh.
Well, why don't we refer to him as the thug Congressman?
All right.
Because that's what he is.
All right. All right. Done and done. Okay.
You see what Travis wrote up there?
What? Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Travis could lock us all in.
Yeah.
Oh, great. I just gave him the idea for the prank.
Thanks.
We're all stuck in here anyway.
Thanks.
I'm telling you, you can't break those windows. They're perfect. Special windows.
They are not special windows.
No, I think I will find you burrowing out like in Shawshank Redemption.
You'll
be digging out of the front of the house.
Yeah, I need a rock hammer. Can you smuggle me a rock hammer? I just need it for rocks, that's all.
All right, 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Captive Stephanie Miller Show.
What in the name of holy hell is going on here?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Huh. It's boom akalakalaka.
Right.
I assumed
right.
It was shakalakalaka.
I'm going to make Jackie Schechner walk the dinosaurs with me later. The mastodons, Max and Fred.
Mm-hmm.
We're going for a little hike after she's here at hour number 3 so we can catch up, little girl talk. All right. If we were doing it back east, it would be, you know, the Iditarod, but it's here in L.A.
Yeah, Iditarod's in Alaska. It's not back east.
Well, in the snow in the Central Park, it was like the Iditarod.
Okay.
Okay. They took many of my friends for a drag in Central Park.
I see.
All right.
There it's the hey, Iditarod. Hey.
By the way, what? Someone tweeted, golly, I'm really surprised the invisible hand of the free market hasn't swooped in to plow all and salt all those Atlanta roadways.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, we'll get to that later. But tell me there's no global warming, really? There's no climate change? What the hell is going on? We are in a massive drought here. It's been like 75, 80 every day. That is not normal. Mm-hmm. Total drought. And when have you even heard of a polar vortex, let alone two? By the way, our beloved Asheville, North Carolina, there's only like 3 plows there because they're not used to
right.
It doesn't snow like this in the South. Oh, there's going to be a revolution. See what I did there? Because our station's 880 the revolution. All right.
You say you want a revolution, well, you know.
Huh. And oddly, the one thing you can count on in every State of the Union, Jim, John Boehner will always be darker than the president.
That's right.
He looks kind of maroon. He was almost Merlot colored.
Yeah, you're right.
And I think it was Charlie Pierce that wrote something about he got darker as the evening went on, like the side of a mountain, the sun going down
the side of a
mountain. God, I was going to say, that's the other thing, just in terms of disrespect, not just Congressman Stockman walking out or Joe Wilson yelling, you lie. Just seriously, like the pissy looks on their faces. Mm-hmm. Did you see, like, Paul Ryan and Eric Cantor always has a bitch face, but.
I don't like.
I'd rather be in Montauk.
Good heavens.
But seriously, do you ever remember, every time there's a camera shot, they're just like, you could tell they just can't stand him. They can't even listen. Anyway. Oh, would you like some fun facts? John Boehner's tan at the State of the Union explained.
Oh, okay. Thanks to Us Weekly.
Or Stars, they're Weekly. Just like us. Only
except
he looks
richer.
Like he's been vacationing with Beyonce in St. Bart's.
Yes.
He told Jay Leno, listen, I play golf, I ride a bike, I cut my own grass.
Cut my own grass?
My mother's dark-complected, so I'm a little dark. There's no tanning beds, no spray, anything, never, not once, ever, anything.
You're a lying sack of crap.
But he gets money from the indoor tanning lobby.
I'm sorry, you live in Ohio, so you cut the grass in January? And play golf, that's how you got so... Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right.
Whatever.
Alrighty then. Joy in Santa Cruz, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Joy.
Good morning, and I want to say hello to the Mooks, and
hello.
So glad you're no longer sick.
Thank you. Oi, that was a tough one.
Yeah, well, I took my flu shot. Please, everyone, take
good.
Your flu shot.
Get the shot. Get the shot. Don't make me go Shirley MacLaine on all your asses in America. Get the shot.
Absolutely. And I also, we are getting a little rain in Santa Cruz.
Oh.
Not a lot, but
okay.
It's really, really sacred stuff right now, and
okay.
I'm really happy about it.
Yeah,
is
we're supposed to get some this weekend here.
Okay.
Oh, good.
Well, I'll send it down your way if I can.
Okay.
Anyway, what I was calling about is I think that this young reporter, New York One.
Yes.
His name is Scotus, I think. He needs to file charges because this.
Well, he's got it on tape.
It's on tape. This representative has done things like this before.
Yeah.
And we need to correct behavior publicly.
I mean, so, that's the thing. It's just, you know, just when you think our partisan politics can't get any worse. I mean, I don't really remember one of those. Do you, a direct physical threat like that? Yeah.
I don't remember.
Not on camera.
I think it needs to be done publicly so that the Republicans can be shown for the bullies that they are.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it's what you teach your kids in kindergarten.
Yeah.
I mean, it really...
Yeah, I don't think charges are going to be filed. They're actually going to lunch sometime soon.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be fun. Okay.
I don't think reporters should go to lunch with their people they're reporting on, though. That just seems like it's crossing a little bit of a line.
I'd have a taster if I were the reporter. Martha, whenever the subject line, Jim, is handsome and romantic, you know I'm going to read it because they're talking about Max.
Yeah, I thought they were talking about Jim.
Well, they could be talking about either of you.
50 pounds ago, maybe.
Staff, now that we can see the studio, can Max and Fred do a trick? Bucks to your favorite charity. Sitting, laying, and being petted do not count. Love, Martha from New Mexico. Well, that's the only tricks they know, Martha.
You're gonna,
sorry.
You going to make them dance like poodles?
Max, lay there. Good dog. Okay.
That's a command he'll follow.
Yeah.
Pretty much. All right. Yeah, they don't know tricks.
No.
But at least they're not cats. See, this is my this goes to my theory. You cannot, because people see how you flinch. Jim at least pets Fred for hours on end, like a good dog lover. You flinch when they get anywhere near you.
Well, that's because I'm concerned about the,
like,
the millions of dollars worth of equipment.
Ironically, as a cat man, like a big see. All right. This is another story about how you cannot trust cats or cat people. And by the way, Travis House and Dog Sits for me, so this is a little nerve-wracking.
All right. Oh, yes, this.
Cat sitter has party home trashed. Police in Buffalo, my hometown, investigating after a vacationing family returned to find their home was the site of a destructive party they blame on their teenage cat sitter. Is there anything more unreliable than teenager and a cat sitter, a cat person at the same time?
You don't know that she's a cat person. She's hired as a cat sitter. She might be a dog person.
Right. Yeah. That could be.
That could be why there was fiction.
Right. Exactly.
Homeowners found it. Well, this is exactly like when I return and Travis has been here. Homeowners found used condoms, vomit, urine, feces on the beds. Rugs and furniture, $6,000 in cash and jewelry missing. I'm guessing the glass egg, for sure.
This is nothing.
Very.
This has disappointed in you. Nothing to do with cats.
Has Rebecca De Mornier been spotted anywhere?
I have no idea.
Near here?
No idea.
The party happened on the watch of a 17-year-old they paid to watch their cats. Multiple cats. The lawyer for the teenage cat sitter. I love that the teenage cat sitter has a lawyer now. Lawyer up! Lawyer up, teenage cat sitter, whose name has not been released, says she can't be held accountable for the actions of nearly 50 party goers. Well, that's a good point. I can't be responsible for what the 50 idiots did that I invited over here.
I'm pretty sure the cats didn't invite the
party goers. When I have two or three people over, it freaks the cats out. I can't imagine what 50 people would do to the cats.
I think the cats moved next door.
That is the awesome.
Oh, that sucks.
All right.
We'll go in through the doggy door. They'll never know.
Because we just had this physical incident with Michael Grimm, it almost turned physical.
Yes.
I've got to read one that's worse in Russia.
Oh, that's just a fairy tale.
See what I did there.
Grimm's fairy tale. Okay. Poetry versus prose argument leads to stabbing death in Russia.
Okay.
As you do.
At least it was highbrow.
Yeah.
Gawker says, at the risk of being somewhat reductionist, here's a bit of advice. Russians love poetry. With that at your own risk. If, for example, you tell a learned Russian that the only real literature is prose, don't be surprised when he shivs you in the face.
Really?
Yes. Former teacher was detained in Russia after being accused of stabbing an acquaintance to death in a dispute about literary genres. The victim insisted that the only real literature is prose. The victim's assertion outraged the 53-year-old suspect who favored poetry. The dispute ended with the ex-teacher stabbing his friend to death. Both of the men were purportedly drunk.
Drunk,
because it was in
Russia.
I will give you the rest of those details.
The rest
of the story.
And
page two. And also Michael Tomasky as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ah, yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. It's Old Home Week. Jackie Schechner, the triumphant return of Jackie Schechner next hour.
That's right.
Jim is very passionate about Jackie, as we all are. They're passionate about their writers in Russia, as we were saying. I was just telling you before the break, poetry versus prose argument leads to stabbing death in Russia. Both men were
drunk.
Drunk, yes, as you are when you argue over whether poetry or prose is the only real
And you've had vodka for breakfast.
Right. We mentioned the victim insisted the only real literature is prose, and his friend disagreed and stabbed him.
In the face.
Right, to death. Right.
Wow.
In one sense, Gawker writes, since it leads to a murderous dispute, the pen proves itself mightier than the sword. On the other hand, screw that noise. Do what the blade won this round. and also in a related story, one Russian man shot another repeatedly with rubber bullets after they had a dispute over the philosophy of Immanuel Kant while waiting online for some beers. That attack, Gawker says, was categorically wrong, but sublime nonetheless.
I see.
Very, very high. I don't know if they're as passionate about writers as I am about some of them. Jim, who said I hadn't been born yet when the Beatles arrived, but Michael Tomasky puts that arrival in context like no book that's come before. It's not just a great book about rock and roll. It's an essential guide to the 60s. It's a delight for fans of music and history. Who said that?
Someone who doesn't remember the Beatles.
Right. Well, yes. John Fugelsang. No,
host
of George Harrison, the last performance, who knows a little something-something.
And you interviewed Macker as well.
Right. Sexy liberal John Fugelsang, talking about our good friend. You say you want a revolution, well, you know.
What?
I would like his jingle, if I might have that, please. Our good friend Michael Tomasky. Oh, we don't have one?
We've never had one.
I'm drunk. All right. Good morning, Michael Tomasky.
Hey, that all sounded pretty nice to me.
Thank you.
Sweet of you guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
That was a good Scouse accent, whoever did that.
That's me, actually.
Yeah.
I've seen the movie a few times, you know. That's not your grandfather. It is, you know. But I've seen your grandfather. He lives in your house. Oh, that's my other grandfather, but he's my grandfather as well.
Everyone's entitled to two, aren't they?
Right.
Brilliant. Michael's book is Yeah, The Beatles in America Then and Now. This sounds, honestly, because I'm in the same category as John. I was born in 61. So this book was very necessary because he made the point that most of the books, you know, they assume you were there and you remember all of it. But
right.
Yeah, this February 7th marks 50 years since the Beatles first came to America. And the book has described 1,000 tributes to tell you what happened, but how and why did it happen the way it did? What was America really like then, culturally and socially, that allowed the group to strike such a deep nerve? What is your quick take on that?
I should confess that I was only born the year before you, so I was alive, but not exactly, reading philosophy at that point. But listen, you know, anybody can write history. You don't have to have been alive.
Well, you know, it's funny. My sisters are 15 and 18 years older than I am, so I sort of remember it through them. I remember learning the Beatles dances when I was a little kid.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So I had a similar situation. Anyway, no, I wanted to write a slightly different kind of book that you know doesn't talk about here's the blow by blow of what they did when they first came to America and all that, but that just kind of talks about what America was like then, socially, culturally, even a little bit politically. It's not that political a book, but it's a little bit political.
Right.
And talks about what was going on in the country that was changing, but quietly and waiting for the 60s to explode, really. It just needed a trigger. And they were, to me, to a lot of people, that trigger. And I explain why, because of the, what was going on in the country then and the things about them, their style and their most of all the music.
And, of course, it can't be without the context of President Kennedy being assassinated.
Because people were
ready for something less awful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep, yeah.
Exactly right.
Well,
exactly
right. Leave it to you to write the book that is described as often surprising. I never knew that account of the Beatles, because just when you think, we know everything about the Beatles, I mean, I think to put it in historical context like that is really an interesting take.
Well, thanks. I mean, I think, I tried to talk a lot about, for example, the lengthy discussions about the music scene and the popular music scene in particular in 1963 and what it was like and what kind of songs were hitting the top of the charts and what was, it was pretty weird and pretty lame, frankly. And then, and then they came along and people went, well, what? And I, what is this? And, one important point that is much underappreciated today is how loud they were, because they don't seem like a loud band today, especially those early songs, but in 1964 that was loud. And I went back and read some highbrow reactions to them, which were really condescending and dismissive. and everybody remarked upon this is ridiculously loud. You can't stand it.
Wow.
It's mostly the screaming girls that were.
Yeah, loud. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
I wonder, drowned out the music.
Was Ed Sullivan, did he originally say now for a really loud shoe?
Something really loud.
Michael, what was it like to watch Ringo and Paul at the Grammys the other night? And there's Yoko Ono and her son rocking out, and he looks exactly like John Lennon, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he really does. He really does. Well,
and Danny Harrison looks just like George.
Oh, does he?
Yeah. Unbelievably like his dad. Yeah. Well, you know, it is what it is at this point. But you know, it's nice to see them together.
I think there was an article, the press reaction to the Beatles, the stodgy old school press saying, oh, they're non singers playing non music and non haircuts and just.
Yeah, it absolutely was. The New York Times, they played a concert on their first trip in February 1964 at Carnegie Hall,
right.
Which is an interesting backstory in its own, because Carnegie Hall didn't host things like that then, and they didn't know quite what the Beatles were when they booked, but the Times actually sent one of its music critics, and the Times didn't review that kind of music back then either.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the Times actually sent one of its music critics to it, and you know, it was just it was a very short, like 300 words, really dismissive, really snotty, you know,
critical.
This is nonsense.
You know, it seems like to me a lot of the, you know, biggest things in our culture and any form of art, a lot of times that's how it started. People going, what is that? You can't do it like that, right?
Yeah.
You know, a lot of, like, when you look at Seinfeld or the early days of a lot of shows that mm-hmm. you know,
it's a show about nothing.
yeah. Well, anything that's different doesn't fit into existing categories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? And so, you know, the Beatles first became stars in England, as you guys, I'm sure, know, mm-hmm. a year before it happened in America. Mm-hmm. And the British, like George Martin and Brian Epstein, kept going to executives at Capitol Records throughout 1963 and saying, here's their new song. What do you think of this? Here's their new song. What do you think of this? It's number one in England. And they would say, We just don't see that in the American market at all. It's too different from anything that's going on over here. Well, they were actually right about that last part.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's got to be a light bulb joke about record company executives in there somewhere. But,
yeah.
Michael, let's talk State of the Union a little bit, because as usual, you complete me. your piece this week was, will Obama ever play hardball? You say the executive order stuff was good, but Obama didn't go at the GOP the way he should have. I'm like you. I always, as you say, you always want the right wing to be pissed off. You're like, why didn't he say more stuff, more red meat, right?
Yeah, I've always said Obama should be less Morgan Freeman and more Ving Rhames.
Yeah. Right, Jim, but that's what Michael's piece is this week. He's like, what does he have to lose, basically,
right.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, it's not as if, you know, trying to extend the olive branch these last 5 or 6 years has worked that well.
Yeah, right. And well, you're right. Here is the most obstructed president in the modern history of the country. Yes, there is no serious disputing this. And then, as you say, his approval numbers are down, dragged down by the opposition party, which does everything it can to make sure there will be no economic recovery while he's president. He's got 3 years left, 3 years during which he stands only one remote shot of getting anything positive done, have the Democrats win back the House. Ugh, be still my heart. I mean, if only that, you know, do you think there's any realistic chance of that?
You know, it's a tough road. I mean, 18 seats. The way those districts are gerrymandered, it's going to be hard. But I do think that if they can take these economic populism issues and talk about them relentlessly between now and November and make it about that, and make it about the Republicans opposing a simple minimum wage increase, you know, unemployment benefits, some of these other issues, and make the election about that, and number two, importantly, get their demographic groups out to the polls.
Well, that's what you say. You know, it gives the Democrats something to run on. You keep up that challenge all year. Obstructionist, obstructionist, obstructionist. And, you know, you're talking about, you've galvanized your side, at least. You say, I really don't understand the downside. It's too partisan, meaning what? That his attempts at bipartisanship have worked like a charm? That he shouldn't offend the Republicans in the chamber because they refuse to work with him? Please.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's not... like you just said, he's got nothing to lose at this point. Now, he did, let's give him a little credit, this business about I'm going to do it by executive order was a little a little bit of in your face, you know.
Right.
There's a little bit of mustard in that.
Yeah.
Right. You said at least had to make Republicans feel pissed off, and that's always what I want.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly. But, you know, I wish he would use these occasions to just talk to them directly, turn to their side of the thing. Well, I guess they all sit mixed and match now, so that wouldn't quite work. But just talk to them directly and say, the American people want the minimum wage increase. The American people want this. The American people want that, which is all true from polls, right?
Yeah, but look at last year on gun control. He did that,
yeah.
Right? And
yeah.
It's just that, I mean, that's what's so, you know, distressing about this makeup of Congress right now. But,
yeah.
You know, but you make a good point. You've contrasted Bill Clinton, how pointedly he mentioned the shutdown and brought it, made a big deal out of it, brought people that had been affected. And you were saying, why didn't Obama get somebody up there who'd been furloughed during the shutdown? How about two or three somebodies? And you say, what's the downside? Republicans get mad? Ooh, good.
Yeah. Yeah. Credit where it's due. This was Amanda Turkle of the Huffington Post, and I was just sort of, you know, linking to her. But it's a great idea. She pointed out that in 96, at his State of the Union address, Clinton had this guy sitting up next to Hillary who had saved lives in Oklahoma City at the bombing and who had then been furloughed in the government shutdown.
Yeah, wow.
I mean, that's, you couldn't make that up. You know,
that's hardball. I mean,
yeah.
You say and you say he only has one opportunity to make anything domestically of his last 3 years, and that's to win back the House. It's a long shot to begin with, that his only shot at it is playing hardball.
Yep.
And I, you know, I tend to agree at this point. I mean, that's what's just so... Like you say, we can say it over and over again, but you know, that this is the most obstructed president in history. But you're right. What do you do about it now? I mean, you got 3 years left. And as you say, I think the main thing is that they want to make sure the economy doesn't recover.
They do. And I think he has to just be more blunt about these things and say these things, you know, more real. And I guess they're worried about swing voters. But, you know, Stephanie, you remember the last time they were worried about swing voters.
Yeah.
It was summer of 2011 in that debt ceiling mess, and mm-hmm. they wanted to seem accommodating. And the debt ceiling mess ended, and then the raft of polls came out. And what did they say? Obama lost standing. He looked weak.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even to independents.
Yeah, and look at what happened when he stood firm this last time. I totally agree. The book is Yeah, The Beatles in America Then and Now by our good friend Michael Tomasky. Michael, great stuff.
Thank you so much for letting me ramble on about that.
It looms large in your legends.
Thanks, Michael. Talk to you soon, honey.
Thanks,
all right, there he goes.
Great.
Love him so much. Talk Beatle to him.
He's a Beatle fan. Great. Brilliant.
Yeah. All right.
He does the Scouse accents himself.
20 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number up the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
I don't mean to do it in the road.
Well, it's very unsanitary for one thing.
There's that. It is the Stephanie Miller
Show. Quite dangerous, really. You might get run over by a lorry.
Yes.
Exactly.
You might get gravel in your
right
crack
areas.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way.
What?
Thank you, everybody, for the Urban Dictionary. We have to look up words because of bully Republicans. Who's a Republican that told Wendy Davis to lick his which I said. I thought was only women had?
No, nope, men have it.
Well, the first definition in the Urban Dictionary, well, you know when you say it taint this, it taint that.
Yeah.
The term originated from the phrase, what I just said, another, but I can't say the whole thing. But it says only on a woman. That's the second one in Urban Dictionary.
Now, well,
the first one says, because of the man's area there between
Yeah.
Was normally referred to as a gooch.
What?
Oh,
I've
that's
never
why,
heard that.
That's why Mrs. Gooches became Whole Foods.
Right?
Yeah.
Like what? A gooch is a what?
I've never heard that. I've never seen that for sale at
Urban
Whole Foods.
Dictionary.
So,
yeah. Yeah. It's the it says it's found only on a woman between.
But that's the second definition.
I thought you had to have two, you know, entry
no.
points for it to be. Okay, never mind. Let's just move on, shall
Please.
We? All right, let's move on to my hate mail.
Oh.
because a lot of people, Jim's fans, of course, could not wait to send me the news that Snowden got the Nobel Peace Prize nomination.
Yeah, I mentioned that
but
yesterday.
But it's all in the subject line, all my insults. It's somebody else that could not get in the big box. Matthew, Snowden should be president, and you, Stephanie, Hillary, and Barack should be in prison as fascist war criminals. All right.
No, Snowden should not be president.
Oh, I love that you did not go to that I should not be in prison as a fascist war criminal.
Oh, well, there's that.
Apparently I should because my dad was Goering's pal, as you've described
him. His poker buddy.
As you've described him before, meaning he interrogated him as a prosecutor at Nuremberg. The same thing as being his pal.
You know.
I love that he talked about Snowden before, whether I, Hillary and Barack and I should be in prison for as fascist war.
Whatever.
Okay.
It's a little over the top.
Wow, war criminal. Yeah. Okay.
That's histrionic.
Yikes. All right, and now, not really a hate letter for Jim, just a fact check for Jim.
Okay.
From Mara, the dreaded bi future wife of any of yours, the lazy-ass stalker in Seattle of the Stephanie Miller Show. Hola, kids. I'm tired of firm assertions minus facts, Jim, but I love you all and I'm a helper. Here are a few of the many statistics the 2012 Center for American Progress collected and published, all in keeping with POTUS's statement. The fun facts, in 2010, women who worked full-time year-round still only earned 77% of what men earned, which is what the president said. The median earnings for women were $36,931 compared to $47,715 for men, and neither real median earnings nor the female-to-male ratio, earnings ratio have increased since 2009, which is what...
But the thing is that statistic has been bandied about for about 30 years.
Well, because so, it's
but when you break it down into specific careers or parts of the country, then you get a clearer picture of it. But it struck me as odd that statistic hadn't changed.
Yeah, but in the middle of a State
decades.
Of the Union address, he can't break down different regions and different...
U.S. women's paychecks will not catch up to men's for another 40 years at the current rate of improvement, experts say.
You're going to be 92.
I am, you know, on the skids as it is. A situation U.S. President Barack Obama highlighted in his State of the Union, calling for policy changes. He hoped will close the gap sooner. He said it's time to do away with workplace policies that belong in a Mad Men episode. I love that line. And then the statistics here again, 77 cents for every dollar a man earns, women who work full time. That disparity has pushed more women into poverty despite higher educational levels. The gender pay gap narrowed greatly between the 1960s and 1990s, but the momentum has slowed. At the current rate, it's expected to close in 2056. So you just be patient there, little lady.
Little Missy.
Little Lady Myers.
Lady right around the TV.
An expert said if you look at who's poor and who's likely to remain poor, women are the majority. So there. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I wasn't going to tell you this, but between you and me and the fly on the wall, there's a woman on the premises who I think maybe is going to save our bacon.
Stephanie Miller.
Bacon.
You hear that, Max? It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Max is in his alligator under the moat. Mode waiting for me to drop food. Okay, 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, in honor of Michael Tomasky's awesome new Beatles book, Rocky Mountain Mike says we should have serenaded.
It's been a far joke night. I'm just thinking about a dog. It's been a far joke night. She should be drinking out of a bar. But when she gets home to Max, and when she gets home to Fred, you know she'll feel alright. You know she'll feel alright. Her mom will feel alright.
It's called an arpeggio.
Oh, why, thank you, Jim. Thank you. All right. Oh, listen, kids, we have an international Bieber incident. Justin Bieber has turned himself in at this hour. Really? Now the president's got another problem on his desk. The petition to deport Justin Bieber has hit 100,000 signatures, and the White House must now respond.
Oh, God.
Do you think the president just went, really?
Well,
really?
I don't think the president has to respond now because Justin Bieber took himself to Toronto and turned himself in last night.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, so
hanging out with Rob Ford, no doubt.
His handler, Rob Ford.
I had a dream about Rob Ford last night.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I dreamt that we got him on our show to make fun of him, and he didn't realize it, and so he came back for the third hour to make fun of him more.
That is weird.
And then Chris Farley came back from the dead and beat him to a pulp.
But he had lost a
lot
of weight.
What kind of loser dreams about the show?
and dreams about Rob Ford.
Yikes.
He had lost a lot of weight.
Oh.
I'll give him that.
Well, good. Okay.
So you're going to have dreams about Chris Christie now?
Don't know. I don't know what that was about.
What, Charlie Sheen was not available to be his rehab his sponsor, so Rob Ford was the next choice?
I guess.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, in 2011, remember, White House officials decided to allow the public to send petitions to the president. Upon reaching 100,000 signatures, they announced the White House would then review the petition and issue an official response. Yes. So, Justin, naturally, there is a counter position, of course, from the believers, Jim, to keep him in.
I'm a believer.
Dear God.
Oh, my.
I'm just
and
saying.
I saw his face, and he looks like Rachel Maddow.
Just saying. Their generation had the Beatles. We have this douche. I mean, really?
Yeah.
What the hell? All right. Robert in Michigan, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Robert.
Good morning, Steph Mama.
Good morning.
And good morning to the mooks.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Are you, by chance, a little drunk?
No, I have woken up early in the morning.
Oh, okay.
It's snowing like crazy here. Mm.
Early?
But I wanted to ask you a couple questions.
10:30 there.
Right. Okay.
Number one, why has Obama not helped us out like he said he was going to?
Oh,
in what way?
Good point. All right, sober up. I don't.
Early in the morning.
There was too much dead air in there already.
10:30.
10:30 in Michigan.
Yeah.
Unless he's in like two counties of the UP, then that's
right. Perhaps.
Youper. He's the Youper.
Okay. All right, yeah, that had nothing to do with the Republicans in Congress or anything. Okay.
I heard a dog bark.
The president, oh, shush, you're hearing things again.
No.
No, I'm not. Don't admonish me because the dog is certain to bark again.
Okay, the president is on his post-State of the Union tour, yep. President Obama, yes.
I'm choosing this to be a year of action because too many Americans are working harder than ever just to get by, much less get ahead. The scars of the recession are real. The middle class has been taking it on the chin since before the recession.
Right, as all callers say,
why is it the problem?
I just rolled out of bed. It's crack of noon around here.
I can't tell because I'm in a snowdrift. I have no idea what time it is. Sniper really can't.
Pardon me?
Yeah.
25 or 6 to 4. That's
all right. Listen,
is.
John Boner, you just settle down. Yeah, interesting. As we were talking to Michael Tomasky, he you would think I would get that flat eye right, being from up to Lackport, up the transit.
Yeah.
From Cheektowaga and Tanawanda and Lackawanna. All right, Michael Tomasky had said he wanted more red meat. I also enjoy things that piss Republicans off, but. Eugene Robinson, by contrast, said it was Obama's best State of the Union he thought ever, with a strong, optimistic beginning and an unforgettable ending. He talked about
the soldier.
Yeah, the soldier, which a lot of people cried.
Yep. 10 deployments.
That may have been.
That's insane.
Wow.
I know. Wasn't that you were just like, wow, that's really what the 10?
10?
The hell's going on here? This may have been the President Obama's best State of the Union speech, Eugene writes, but the president's tone throughout the speech was buoyant, not sour. Even when he bludgeoned the GOP over long-term unemployment benefits or the minimum wage, he did it with a smile. If he is as serious about tackling climate change as he said tonight, this may turn out to be one of the most important speeches of his presidency. I was really excited that he was that strong about he just said the debate is over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's over. And then the end of the speech, you're talking about the wounded Sergeant First Class was an indelible moment. To end with such a powerful story of bravery and resilience gave emotional depth to the overall theme of the speech, America is Back. I don't know how much of his agenda Obama will achieve, but I'm pretty sure these last 3 years of his presidency won't be boring. We shall see. I like that he's talking about income inequality.
Corporate profits, stock prices have all soared, but the wages and incomes of ordinary people haven't gone up in over a decade.
Again, I mentioned it yesterday. Why aren't we talking about corporate welfare? Every time they talk about, the takers,
right?
They're the biggest takers in our country.
It's because we live in a corporate fascist police state now.
Right. The president.
I could do more with Congress, but I'm not going to not do anything without Congress. Not when it's about the basic security and
dignity of American workers.
Yeah.
You know, I like my happy clappiness. Carter Eschew in the Washington Post.
Eschew. Bless you.
Thank you.
Carter Gesundheit.
He says, which is what I'm also hearing in other places, Republicans will not repeat their government shutdown mistake. While that benefited Democrats, it also damaged economic growth, which hurt Obama. A saner budget process may bolster economic confidence, which in turn would bolster Obama. Second, savvier Republicans realize their long-term political prospects depend on recovering their recovering their standing with Hispanics on the immigration issue. Comprehensive immigration reform would remove a Republican curse and carve the second prominent notch in Obama's legacy alongside his health care law. Finally, the president's focus on addressing growing income disparity is a convenient club with which to pound Republicans until November. That's what Michael said. The president's innocent belief in big things done in a bipartisan manner is dead. In its place is a more liberated and hardened politician and perhaps a more skillful one. So we'll see. I hope. Michael's right. I know it's a long shot, but how awesome would that be if we could take the House back and actually get some stuff done?
It's a long shot.
The president.
Nobody who works full time should ever have to raise a family in poverty. And that is why I firmly believe it's time to give America a raise.
Yeah, I like that. I love that part of the speech about, you know, give America a raise when he was speaking directly to the Republicans. The president one last time.
Wherever I can take steps to expand opportunity for more families, regardless of what Congress does, that's what I'm going to do.
Representative Jeff Duncan, one of the many, many Republican helpers in Congress.
You've got a pen and a cell phone. But you also have the Constitution of the United States. This is the most important document. I know the president knows this. He taught it.
There it is again.
A bit of a dig as a constitutional law professor.
Black man with a pen and a phone.
And a really obstructionist Congress.
Yep. And did I mention, once again, yesterday, he has used executive action the least times, ladies and gentlemen, of any president thus far, just for those of you playing the home game. The New York Times had a piece, the diminished state of the union. Every winter, and this does get depressing, every winter since 2009, President Obama stood at the podium of the House and pleaded for cooperation from Congress. For the last three State of the Union speeches, he has largely been ignored. Mm-hmm. That has left a growing trail of unfinished business, background checks for gun buyers, immigration reform, a higher minimum wage, tax fairness, universal preschool.
See, he can't get anything done.
See? He's lazy because he's...
And shiftless.
Right.
Yeah.
The only way to truly affect the economy on a mass scale to make a difference for tens of millions of people instead of a few hundred thousand is persuade Congress to go along on major initiatives the president was forced to repeat in his remarks, such as extending jobless benefits, creating high quality preschool for all 4-year-olds, and especially raising the minimum wage. And then he also talked about the earned income tax credit. Here we go again, where the health care plan was their idea. And it's another, but it says it would provide the incentive to work with many Republicans on an idea they say they support. Pushing for a vote would reveal whether Republicans are so opposed to anything Mr. Obama wants that they would reject their own ideas, which they've already done on health care. Mm-hmm. As important as executive orders can be, they should not replace showing that Republicans are voting against the public's wishes. And that's what Michael Tomasky said, is we need to pound that every day until November. All right. 45 minutes after the hour, much more. Ooh. We're getting very close to Nurse Jackie.
I think I smell her.
Jackie Schaefer in hour number 3 as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's fun for ages 8 to 80. Join us.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 49 minutes after the hour. The triumphant return of Jackie Schechner in hour number 3, live in studio with us. We can do Jackie's Healthcare Corner, and Jim can just do Jackie. 1-800-STEP.
I don't think she'd appreciate that.
No, what? She would not.
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Let's see, who is this? Norma, Sexy Liberal Phoenix. Steph, I apparently talk so much about the first Sexy Liberal in Phoenix, my 75-year-old parents bought me tickets to join this time. I made them promise if they had any questions or didn't understand a joke, they would never ask me. I think that's wise.
Yeah.
My 91-year-old Republican mom saw the show, and she still had to ask me what the teabagging demonstration.
Oh, boy.
She was like, Stephanie, what was the man doing to you? I'm like, I don't. Playing leapfrog, Mom. Same as your dad were when I checked in when I was a kid. Okay. That is so Phoenix is up next, by the by. Saturday, February 15th. You'll be there.
Hopefully I'll be there.
You'll be there. Carlos Alzraki, John Fugel saying, Sexy Liberals Extraordinaire. Whole new show in 2014. We're so, so excited. Madison is already sold out March 29th, but there's going to be a big announcement. Could be as soon as tomorrow on where the April show will be.
Mm-hmm.
What could I mean by that? And then, of course, May.
Dear Republicans, this coming election year, progressives everywhere want to thank you from the bottom of our bleeding hearts for being you.
Go!
From your war on women, thanks for pissing off half the country.
Oops.
To the government shutdown. Absolutely brilliant.
You must be stupid.
We'd send flowers to each and every clown and carnival barker in your broken, dysfunctional party, but instead, we're throwing a party. On Saturday, May 10th, the world-famous Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour is coming to Albuquerque, New Mexico for some good old midterm mocking. Stephanie Miller and her sexy liberal players will perform live on stage at Popejoy Hall. Tickets are available online at unmtickets.com. Don't miss the Sexy Liberal Schadenfreude.
What the hell is that?
That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, May 10th at Popejoy Hall in Albuquerque. Go to unmtickets.com.
And then I believe next week we will have an announcement of where we're coming in June.
What?
Oh, it's all so exciting. Jim, you got to go because you got to get out of here. You know why? Snakes. Snakes. Did you see the home in Santa Ana? Hundreds of snakes.
Yep. Snakes.
Most of them dead.
Why'd it have to be snakes?
Exactly.
Most of them dead.
Yeah, but still. Did you see the pictures?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Where is this?
God.
Santa Ana.
I'm one of these mother snakes out of my mother state, frankly. That's all I'm saying. All right. In other animal stories. Jim, this is right up your alley. Of the famous sheep bit, you remember.
Oh. Well.
Google Jim Ward's famous sheep bit. Jury reprimanded for laughing at alleged sheep or rejected by a cow. Gawker brings us the story. A jury broke out into laughter on Monday after prosecutors described how a cow rejected the advances of an alleged sheep or. Wow.
So cows
no
are
matter
smarter
how
than...
bad your life is, this is going to make you feel better.
Cows are pickier.
Wonder if this will end up on Misconnections on Craigslist. Last September, a couple having a picnic reportedly witnessed 61-year-old Paul Lavelle attempting to have sex with a sheep just minutes after he tried and failed to have sex with a cow in a field near London.
Of course, a cow could kick you to death.
Right. So. When the cow rejected his advances, prosecutors told the jury the man decided to try his luck with some sheep. At that point, understandably, the jury burst into laughter. The judge, however, was less than amused and yelled at the jury for laughing. The charge...
We are not amused.
The charge now... What's that, Chris? Does this get worse?
Does it get worse?
Yes, it does. The last sentence is, the charge now reads, outraging public indecency with fellatio on a cat.
Oh, what?
Okay, well, could I just give you... Okay. You don't want to... All right, how about if I just...
How about a handy? Can I just give you a handy?
Oh, my God.
In German, handy means a cell phone.
Somebody's love life that is worse than mine. I feel better. All right. Yikes.
Ew.
Yikes. All right. Tom in Maryland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Hello.
I think our Republican friends don't understand unemployment. I think that when they send a job overseas, they think that the job theory comes and plants two more. Or when they turn down an infrastructure bill, that the bridge fairy comes and builds one tax-free.
Mm.
I think they have a problem with magical thinking.
Yeah, yes.
It kind of comes from, you know, like denying things like evolution or that Obama's president. And, you know, if reality is just what you happen to want it to be.
Yeah, yeah. Or
or
climate change, speaking of magical thinking, as the president says, the debate is over. Look, turn on the TV. Look anywhere. Look at Atlanta. Did you see that? This is the headline. What's up with the wild weather? Well, I'll tell you what's up with the wild weather. Climate change is up with.
We've got drought out here
in California.
And, you know, Arctic
What are they calling it? Object vortex?
Polar vortex, yes. Yes. More than 9,000 students across Georgia and Alabama camped out with teachers in school gyms. Have you seen all this on TV last night? Or on buses, and commuters abandoned cars along the highway to seek shelter in churches, fire stations, even grocery stores. It's all the people sleeping in the aisles.
Yeah.
After a rare snowstorm left thousands of unaccustomed Southerners frozen in their tracks, more than enough to paralyze deep south cities such as our beloved Asheville, North Carolina, as I mentioned earlier, which officials say only has 3 snowplows at its disposal, and New Orleans, which has none.
Wow.
The superintendent in suburban Atlanta said his district had 90 buses stuck at midnight and a handful still stuck at 7:30 this morning.
Yeah.
Buses. Why didn't they bring the buses?
Right, Sean Hannity. That's probably Mayor Nagin's fault, I'm guessing. Okay, the mayor of Atlanta.
I don't feel that people are angry at me. I think that they have a great deal of frustration. I thought that it was a mistake for business, government, and the schools to announce those closures, which caused people to flow in to the streets and created a major traffic jam.
A lot of people panicked.
A lot of people are taking the mayor to task, though, for not taking charge of the situation, kind of blaming everybody else, kind of blaming businesses, schools, and all that, instead of taking charge of the situation and saying, this is what's going to happen.
Corky in Rochester, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Corky.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, I want to talk about that Grimm.
Yes.
If it was my kid, a senior in high school, threatened to throw a teacher off the building, I'd be down to the courthouse bailing him his ass out, you know. And Grimm, they asked the young reporter if he wanted to press charges. Well, of course he can't press charges. His job is at stake. He's a political reporter.
Yeah. You know,
it should be we, the people, who press the charges against that guy. I mean, it's not like there was no witnesses. We got 100 million witnesses that heard him threaten that kid.
Yeah. I mean, the
district attorney should be filing charges on his butt.
Yeah, exactly.
Great.
Exactly. All right, honey. I appreciate it. By the way, I forgot we have a bigger threat, and even a bigger threat than Bieber, and that is there is a gay couple on the Disney Channel, ladies and gentlemen.
What?
And 1 million moms.
That's not legal. How is that allowed?
Who I think is one guy in his basement, isn't it? 1 million moms, that organization?
It's one guy in his mom's basement.
Mom! I'm trying to write a complaint about it's Disney!
Last June, Disney announced it would feature its first openly gay characters ever on the channel in an episode of Good Luck, Charlie.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that. Oh, my goodness. It's a cute little lesbian couple. Look at him.
Wow.
Okay.
You'd be offended by that.
Before they meet Taylor's parents, Amy and Bob get confused because Amy thinks mom's name is Susan and Bob thinks her name is Cheryl. Turns out Taylor has two moms. Oh, no.
So it's not like the neighbors drop by. This is like a major plot point,
it
sounds like. Wow. Mm-hmm.
American Family Association's 1 million moms, of course. Cue freak out.
Which is two guys in the basement, really.
Well, they protested, you remember Ellen DeGeneres and also Sweaty Balls ice cream.
Yeah, they did.
If you don't like either of those lesbians or sweaty balls, there isn't. We really. It's nothing. We have nothing for you.
Don't drink, don't smoke. Yep. What do you do?
Right, exactly. All right. 58 minutes after the hour. Jackie Schechner next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Walking in sunshine.
Huh, I wonder what that needs. It needs...
more cowbell.
Oh, right. Thanks so much. Right behind me. Yeah, someone sent us more cowbell. Awesome. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Chris LaVoy, voice deity, Jim Moore, me, Stephanie Miller. Jackie Schechner, there's traffic in L.A.?
Imagine that.
Huh.
Shocking.
I hadn't heard that.
She's stuck on an Atlanta highway.
No, she's not stuck on Atlanta Highway.
She's sleeping in the aisles of it.
We forgot to give her the Californian's GPS. We probably should have, right?
Oh, California.
Gee, don't go that way. Don't take Pico at this hour.
No, you never take Pico.
Right? Okay. All right.
Don't even think about Santa Monica.
Right, exactly. We did not give her... Anyway, she will be here just momentarily. Jackie Schechner, our old current TV colleague, and we have not done a Jackie's Healthcare Corner in quite some time. People have a lot of questions, let's just say. All right. Oh, do we do have it? Yes. Yeah. Jackie, if you're in the car, here.
Never go anywhere without the Californian's GPS.
You know, I want to get to that place that sells Mexican country-style chairs.
We're going to take San Vicente to where it curves into Wilshire, to the 405 North and up to Mulholland.
What? At this time of day, it's going to be jammed.
Okay, I can recalculate the route. So you can take Santa Monica to Sunset and Laurel Canyon to Ventura, which would totally take you by that stand that sells fresh tangerines off Van Nuys.
Oh, dude, I changed my mind. I want to go to that scented candle shop in Melrose. Look, take Pico to the 110, then to the 101, but get off of Vermont.
I'm afraid I can't allow you to do that.
What are you doing?
This route is too important for me to allow you to recalculate it, Dave.
What?
Daisy.
Totally not cool, dude.
The Californian's GPS. Don't let your GPS put you on Beverly Glen because you don't want to end up in Encino.
Oh, my God. What? Speaking of global warming, it just got so much hotter in here.
I know.
Yeah. There she comes.
Imagine reading news.
There she is.
I think she gets up in the night and burns the lights. The only one who didn't fail and got it right was Jackie Schechner.
Yay.
She does the news. So happy it's Schechner. There's not to the weather. She does all day. It's Jackie Schechner.
Families together again. Do I look well rested? Because I've got about 6 months of sleep.
Yeah, I know, right?
I was going to say, you look a lot better than the rest of us. Holy cow. Look at you. You've been off gallivanting.
Yeah, there's life after 7 p.m.
Is there really?
I had no idea. People do things.
At night?
At night?
Trust me, she has a social life. She travels.
Oh, my God.
Oh, for God's sake.
I do miss you, though.
I miss you.
We miss you guys.
Studio looks different.
Yeah, right. A little bit.
Captain America's underpants are gone.
Y'all made some changes.
It's apparently Goldwater.
Can I just tell you the downside of having the home studio? It's like, see, that.
That.
Second,
you have dogs.
And you have more incentive never to leave your house ever again.
Well, that, and it's like having four husbands or living with bears.
She yelled at us for leaving just a couple of squares on the toilet paper roll.
Oh, I thought she was going to yell at you for leaving the seat up.
Oh, well, that I've learned to live with. But now what happens is they start a new role before they finish the other one. Ladies, who else is irritated? Never mind.
There are far worse things to get irritated about.
Jackie Schechner.
Hi.
How have you been, my love? Oh,
I'm good. I'm doing well. I'm a little inundated with all of this healthcare stuff, to
I'm
be
sure.
honest with you.
Right.
I'm trying to sort it all out and actually have encountered some personal issues with the new health insurance plans.
Do tell.
Well, it's a little complicated, but essentially I'm finding that the health insurance companies are dragging their feet and using the Affordable Care Act as their excuse for dragging their feet.
Yeah.
And for example...
This is the first time an insurance company has ever misbehaved, correct?
Right. This is a new thing. This is
right.
a new phenomenon.
Right.
But for example, I'll say they rhyme with Blue Shield.
Right. All right.
But you call the insurance company and they just leave you on hold for, I know someone who was on hold for no joke, 2.5 hours the other day. Either they don't pick up or when they finally do, they put you on hold a couple more times. And you can't get any information out of them. And while you're on hold, the recording says over and over again, the long wait times are due to changes in the healthcare law.
Uh-huh. Right.
So essentially, they just take that time to blame the Affordable
and
Care Act.
And you warned us of this before this happened. There, you know, and employers, people are going to use Obamacare now as an excuse to do stuff, to, you know, bad behavior they wanted to do forever.
Yeah, I mean, look, you're more than welcome to complain about healthcare.gov and how the government didn't do such a hot job of building that website. But they're not really in the website building business. I'm going to say that the insurance companies have been in the health insurance business for, I don't know, 100 years now, and they can't seem to get this right. They can't seem to accommodate all of these new customers. Mm-hmm.
And by the way, you and I say this as survivors of the Soul Cycle website malfunction, which has been bigger than the polar vortex.
It made the New York Post.
Wow. No, it did
yes,
not.
It did. Yes, it did. I gave her that story yesterday from the New York Post.
Yes, it did. Who got you addicted to SoulCycle?
You did get me addicted to SoulCycle.
Right.
Were you caught up in the great SoulCycle outage of 2014?
As I said, glitch, please. It was fine by
Tuesday. It was actually fine. I thought it was going to be a bigger problem than it was.
Right.
This
is from the New York Post. SoulCycle, the spin studio that's a favorite of Kelly Ripa, Jake Gyllenhaal, and of last week, Oprah. With Angela, my favorite over in West Hollywood.
Well, Angela was the first class we ever took together.
Right.
Aww.
You never forget your first.
You never forget your first with Stephanie. Exactly.
I just assumed the SC was for USC, but now.
No.
No.
Left its devoted riders disconnected when its redesigned website malfunctioned Monday afternoon. Riders usually flock to SoulCycle site Mondays at noon to sign up for desired classes and bikes, but the new site failed, leaving panicked.
There was a glitch.
Error messages. Right. Yes, it was all fine by Tuesday.
Yeah, I didn't
know. No, I explained to him. It's like getting into Studio 54 in 1978. No. You have to, if you don't sign up at like 12:02 for some teachers.
It's like checking into a Southwest Airlines flight. If you don't check in right at 24 hours before your flight leaves, then you're SOL. Right.
See, Angela's classes are sold out by 12:01.
Right.
No joke. 12 o'clock, you get on. By 12:01,
what's
you
the
can't
appeal?
I'm like, how is that possible?
To be yelled at for an entire
just
hour?
She
yell.
Was
it's
an Olympic sprinter. She's an amazing teacher.
What you say is inspirational.
And
I
don't mean
yelling.
To slight my other favorites, MB and Pixie. But anyway, let's
you know,
not
you were No, here's what her inspirational message was on Tuesday. Instead of saying, I have to do something, you say, I get to do. Mm-hmm. Right? So you're
don't get life coachy with him because he loses his shizzle when you... All right. All right, let's go back to...
Don't look at me like that.
That is so life coachy.
You don't have to work at the Stephanie
Miller
Show. You
know what?
You
have
to work at the Stephanie Miller
Show. No, I have. She chained me to this board. Hi.
You're lucky some really nice employer gets you health care so that eye, when your eyes stick like that from that sarcastic eye roll, it'll be covered. Okay. Jackie Schechner.
I think sarcasm's a pre-existing condition.
Yeah, I think it is.
I love the president's line about, repealing health care 40 times. We got it now. Thanks.
Point made.
Yeah.
Nothing accomplished,
and unless you have a better idea, blah, 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 right?
Well, that's the best part about all of this, is that the Republican Party has never had a better idea when it comes to healthcare reform. They have put together a proposal which is a regurgitation of the same stuff that we rejected back in 2008, mm-hmm. the same stuff we rejected in 2012, same thing we reject every time attempts to repeal fail.
Yeah.
And, now they're pretending they've got some big solution that's absolutely nothing new and won't actually help anybody.
Right.
So,
right. I mean,
what are you going to do with that?
Yeah, interesting. We were talking about which three name?
Chuck
Norris Rogers. Speaking of life coach things, did you know, for instance, Jackie, that what was the thing Carl first tweeted about? Oh, the true state of the union is in your heart.
Yeah.
That was good. Yeah. She mentioned God about 18 times in the last 30 seconds.
It's saying SoulCycle.
And also, it's not important what happens in the White House or the House of Representatives, but in your house.
In your house.
Ding.
Okay, anyway, it was touching that she talked about her child that has Down syndrome, but they just cut funding for that. And basically the whole story was about, gee, wouldn't that be nice if somebody thought of something where you're not discriminated against for pre-existing conditions. I mean, everything she's talked about was what Obamacare did, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I love the fact that she saved enough money for college by working at McDonald's when you can't actually make ends meet by working at McDonald's.
Right. Well, at least she's not that gold-digging whore Wendy Davis. What the hell is going on? The war on women, it's on again. It's on. Thank God you're here for backup.
Well, thank God they had a woman give the response, because that means they're reaching out to women, right, because we're that shallow.
Now, sure, you were late because you stopped to get at Uncle Sugar's to get some birth control pills, right?
I did, yeah. I have a whole bucket of them at home.
Just shovel them in your mouth. Yeah. Like, yeah.
No, I like that.
Like Skittles.
On a Friday night when I've got nothing to do.
Right.
Down a couple of BCs, I'm good to go.
Is that what the kids are calling them on the street?
She's just out with the other gals having a bitch fest. Uncle Sugar's late with my pills again.
Can't control my libido. You know,
that's right. You know.
Right.
As you do.
And as Rush taught us, you know, the more sex you have, the more pills you need to take.
Well, in his case, yeah.
Well,
in his case, yeah. Yes, the all
his pills were Viagra. And so, yeah.
Oxy, wasn't it?
Oxy. And Oxycontin. And yeah, he was caught with off-market Viagra when he was coming back from the Dominican Republic.
Because that's something you want to skimp on.
Yeah. You want to just kind of, you want to go freestyle on
yeah,
that.
Go generic with that.
Yeah. I remember he said, I wish I could tell you, my friends, what I did on the weekend, but I can't, after he came back to the Dominican Republic.
Oh, I think we know what happens in the Dominican yeah, Republic. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Well known for their child sex trafficking.
Mm, boy.
Not saying, you know.
We're not saying. We're
not
just
saying.
Saying.
Not
we're
just
saying. Right. 17 minutes after the hour, this hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by GoToMeeting. Winter weather. We have a drought here, as you know, Jackie.
I've noticed that.
But winter weather in half the other half of the country, even in the South.
Oh.
How do you get in for those meetings? The flights get canceled. People stay homesick. Be prepared. Get GoToMeeting with HD Faces by Citrix, the powerfully simple way to meet and collaborate online no matter what the weather is like. You can sign up for GoToMeeting from your computer or mobile device and launch your first meeting in seconds. Then no matter where you are, the 405.
Wherever you go,
right?
There you are.
You'll be instantly connected to your team. You can share your screen to collaborate on projects in real time and just turn on your webcams to see each other face to face. And since we have a drought, all of us look like Marco Rubio. Hold that thought. We rely on GoToMeeting here at the Stephanie Miller Show. Do it. Get it. It's a free 30-day trial of GoToMeeting. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Use that promo code, Stephanie. GoToMeeting.com. The promo code is Stephanie. 18 minutes after the hour. Yay! It's Jackie's Healthcare
Yay!
Corner. If you have questions, we've just been bursting. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Like being stung by a bee or getting a splinter. Or being chained to a wall in someone's sex dungeon.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Oh, Jackie Shepner has crashed the freespeech.org.
No, you can still go there.
All right.
Yeah, don't sell it that way.
Yeah, because people are, you know,
over
right?
200 people jumped on when Jackie sat down.
Yeah.
The chair.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, look at who's the prettiest girl in the world.
Well, Fred
thinks
so.
Yeah.
If you'd like to.
That was the barking. We yeah, separated, you know, Max and Fred from the new meet.
Right.
You guys are
We'd
old.
Like to announce our engagement.
Right, which is legal now in California.
That's
we'll
right.
Say that.
And if you'd like to see Jackie with Max,
Fred.
Oh my God. Go to freespeech.org.
How do you not apart. Know this?
They are two giant white dogs that look exactly the same.
Max is bigger and he's got the different
oh
color.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
At least with my cats, one of them is a tabby, one of them is a tuxedo. You can plainly tell them apart.
Who cares? All right. All we
Emmy?
Care about is Emmy. How is Emmy, your cat?
Emmy's good. I will say, though, the drought has affected our household because
really?
We have to turn the sink on for her.
Oh, she lives in the sink. Right.
She lives in the sink.
Oh.
Yeah. So now we have to monitor how much sink time she gets.
All right.
Catch
she's
sinks.
Doing she's doing well.
All right. You have been barred from talking during the commercial breaks yes. because you are imparting too much information about the Affordable Care Act and what you think is happening as an you are, by the way, for people who have just tuned in and did not maybe even see Jackie Young Current with us, she is a healthcare expert who helped get the Affordable Care Act made into law. So what you were talking about your that we need
yeah.
Sorry, Fred, leave Nurse Jackie alone.
Pause caught in her cord.
No.
Sorry. Okay, you were saying that you feel like we might need an insurance commissioner or something because of the stuff you've been encountering.
Yeah. Are you okay?
We need Commissioner Gordon.
Sorry.
Focus.
We all need right. a dog catcher is what we need.
Shush.
Fred's getting all in my
Only business. You would use a term like dog catcher.
What?
Oh, you're... Go ahead, Jackie.
Anyway. What I'm encountering, and this has just been over the last couple of weeks, I don't have a large enough sample to say that this is widespread, but I'm a little concerned. And here's what I'm encountering, is that the insurance companies are dragging on implementing what they need to implement. And what I'm finding is that the plans that they're offering on the exchanges, through the exchanges, are different than the plans they're offering off of the exchanges. And the reimbursement rates that they're offering doctors and facilities.
No, wait a minute. When you say off the exchanges, what do you mean? How do you get them?
So you go to Covered California here. I can only speak for here in California because this is the experience I've had so far. So you go to Covered California and you buy a plan. You can buy an HMO, a PPO, an EPO, all different kinds of plans. And you buy a plan, and then I assume it's just a regular, normal private health insurance plan, which is what it's supposed to be, mm-hmm. and that the exchange, the Covered California Exchange, is just a marketplace. Well, what I'm finding is that the plans that they're offering here in California on the exchange are different than the plans that you get off the exchange, mm-hmm. and the ones on the exchange are offering doctors and facilities such absurdly low reimbursement rates that the doctors and facilities can't afford to be part of the network, or mm-hmm. at least that's what I'm hearing. In some cases, they haven't even reached out to doctors and facilities to ask if they want to participate in the network. So the doctors don't even know whether or not they're a part of the network.
Wow.
You go to a doctor's office and you give them your card and they say, I don't know if we participate in this. Hmm. Now, you can have a PPO, which allows you to go out of network. That's fine. But then you have to see what the coinsurance rate is out of network. For mm-hmm. example, let's say the doctor wants to charge you $180 for an office visit. Okay?
Right.
Well, my plan is 50-50 if it's out of network. But it's 50-50 of what's allowable by the insurance company. So the doctor bills $180. The insurance company says, we're only going to allow you $50 for that. They pay $25. I pay $25. And then I pay the rest of what the doctors charge, which wasn't the case before. It used to be that they could just kind of write that off. So now what's happening is you're paying your premiums. On top of that, you also have to pay out of pocket for what the insurance company isn't willing to cover.
I mean, I think what you were saying, and this is what we were saying, how come all of a sudden Republicans are, you know, pretending that, you know, insurance companies have always been our best friend, whereas in this case you're thinking, it seems like, and you said you don't have widespread evidence, but they're gaming the system. It's not enough that they got all these new customers. You know, and this is why, as Jim said, once again, we keep going, this is why we need single payer.
Well, talk about
because this is still a private insurance system.
Right. Talk about looking a gift horse in the mouth. I mean, the Affordable Care Act gave the private insurance industry hundreds of thousands and in some cases millions of new customers. You'd think, A, they'd be prepared to handle the influx, and B, that they would be grateful for that and at least keep the rates where they are in the private insurance market all along. But I don't think there's enough structure in place regulating the plans that they're offering, and what they're doing is trying to get as much money as possible and pay out as little as possible. Well, and I'm not sure that there's enough oversight to stop mm-hmm. that. But I will tell people, blame the insurance companies. If you want to get mad at the insurance companies. Mm-hmm. Don't get mad at the law that tried to make health care coverage better for you.
Or some of these employers that now have a convenient excuse and go, oh, I'm sorry, it's Obama. Because they were Obama haters in the first place. Oh, I'm sorry, it's Obamacare. You know, they have a scapegoat now.
Yeah, I mean, you've got companies whose primary objective it is to make as much money as humanly possible for their shareholders. That's by law. That's what they have to do.
Mm-hmm.
So why are you protecting them and standing up for them? They're not interested in you.
All right, we'll take some Ask Jackie calls. 29 minutes, Jackie's Healthcare Corner. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Hello, my name is Fabulous.
Well, what is it? How fabulous is your name? Oh, your name is Fabulous.
Right. Well, I think we know what fabulous applies to. Mm. 34 minutes after the hour, David in Massachusetts, dear Steph, Jackie. Can we keep her, Mama, please? All right, but you...
It's Shecknut!
You feed her.
Again.
I'm taking her for a walk after the show. You guys feed her. You guys feed her.
She'll be swirling.
Baton, she'll be twirling.
Aw. Anyway, so we were talking healthcare before the break. Your own personal experience, your own suspicions about the malfeasance
of the insurance companies.
I hear things.
I'll be interested to see what happens. I mean, I'd like to hear stories about what people are experiencing when they go. I mean, it worked with my pharmacy, right? The prescription drug coverage was
right.
fine.
Right.
But I'd be interested to see what happens when people go to their doctors and to facilities and see right. what happens with these plans. I'm curious. Nobody wants us to work well more than I do.
Yeah.
Let's
yeah.
just preface this by saying that. But I'm skeptical, and I don't trust the insurance industry, and I think they've figured out a way to make even more money off mm-hmm. of this.
Yeah. I love it because the headlines are hilarious. In Salon, GOP's new immigration spin. If we can't pass reform, it's Obamacare's fault.
yeah.
So insurance companies, douchey employers, everyone.
Global warming.
Right. Yeah. Obamacare, yeah. obviously. Yeah, I love, who is this, looking for another Republican? Oh, expresses concern for fellow citizens in need before mentioning that part of the problem is that people don't need to be straddled with Obamacare. Straddled?
Straddled? I think he meant saddled.
I think that's what he meant.
He was thinking of something else.
I'm being straddled by a health care plan.
Bow, chicka, bow.
All right. Ivy in L.A., you're on with Jackie. Hello, Ivy.
Hi. Hi, Stephanie. Hi, Jackie.
Hi.
A quick what happened with me. Signing up was absolutely a delight. All you have to do is be able to read and just follow the prompts. And so signing up was nothing. I eventually got my card from Anthem Blue Cross. When I looked at the card and I looked at the hospital, I think we've heard of this hospital. I found out that the hospital that I was assigned to is in Adelanto. I live in the Hancock Park area. And the doctors were out there.
I've never heard of Adelanto.
I called Blue Cross. I was on the line, over 2 hours. Finally spoke to somebody, and they were very kind. They provided me with a list of all the doctors in my neighborhood. Not a single one of them. And I called over 50 doctors to see if they were participating in the plan.
Wow.
Not a one. I said, well, my goodness, is there anybody in my neighborhood at all that I can go to? They were looking. So then I decided to call Kaiser and signed up like I was signing up for Kaiser. Signed up for Kaiser, and then I asked, you know, well, what about the doctors? Found out from the Kaiser facility that even though you may sign up for Kaiser and you would be able to go to that particular hospital, you still are not able to access all of your doctors. Only a certain amount of doctors within the Kaiser network will be allowed to participate or are participating. So even within Kaiser, there's a two-tier. So what insurance companies are doing, they are really setting up a two-tier network, one for quote-unquote corporations and then the other one for individuals.
Right. Well, you know, as Jackie sort of put it, I mean, gaming the system. But what do we...
Well, Ivy's in Los Angeles,
right.
So I'm this absolutely makes total sense to me based on the experience I've had here in California, and I'm wondering whether or not this is happening across the country. I'd be interested to hear if other people are having a similar experience. But that doesn't surprise me that
right.
she's unable to find a doctor nearby. Because the website that I've visited several times mm-hmm. now, again, rhymes with Blue Shield, has inaccurate information. So you can look up your doctor facility.
You don't get how to play the game.
No.
You just say, I'm not going to say which one. It's an American
and then I
airline.
Schmoobield.
Yeah. Right. Yes. So you go to the website and you look up your facility or your provider, and then you look and see what they accept. And it says they take your plan. But when you get in there for the appointment... Mm. They're not participating, or they haven't even been asked to participate.
So what is the fix for this? You were saying you mentioned an insurance commissioner.
I don't know. I mean, I have to figure out who to call. I mean, I have a lot of free time, and I'm kind of on a mission.
That's the worst enemy.
They messed with the wrong girl. and I happen to hate the insurance industry. So there you go. It's a perfect storm. But I have to figure it out. I'm making some calls to some people I know who are in consumer advocacy here in California. And I'm going to try and see if there's an insurance commissioner or maybe even through HHS to figure out why it is they're being allowed to offer these plans. You're not losing your doctor.
Right.
What's happening is the doctors are getting reimbursement rates that are so absurdly low
right.
that the doctors can't take these plans.
The worst news for the insurance companies may be that Jackie Schechner's out of work right now. Because you don't want a pen girl that's out of work. Our third member of our throuple, Melissa Fitzgerald, she was telling me a story. I can't remember what it is she got done, but she called somebody. She said, listen to me. I'm an out-of-work actress. I have a lot of time on my hands. I have a degree from Penn. And and got it done.
And
see?
I'm mad.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
This highly educated, out of work, dangerous combination.
And I happen to know. Yeah. I happen to know who to ask for and when to ask for them. And
well, California has an insurance commissioner.
Well, that's the next phone call.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Yeah. Well, there you go. All right. Let's go to Beth in Albuquerque. You're on with Jackie. Hey, Beth. Welcome. Hi, Beth.
Thank you. Hi. Good morning. Quick comment before my question. Wendell Potter early on said that the health care plan was too beneficial for the insurance company, so we have to fight them every way. My question is, I'll turn 65 in September. I got laid off in June. I'm on COBRA, which covers dental, vision, and health, and I'm thinking I should just stay on COBRA and have all that until I go to Medicare, because it just seems like there's so many places to fall in if I try to get on.
If you can afford to stay on COBRA, for people who don't understand or don't know about COBRA, if you lose your job, you get laid off, you have the opportunity to continue your health care coverage the same way you had it with your employer. It's at 102% of what your employer was paying. So it's 100% what your employer is paying plus like a 2% administrative charge.
Right.
So it's expensive. I had COBRA when Current met its demise, and it was expensive. The reason
it wasn't me. She worked for Current. Not for me.
That's right.
I worked for Current, yes. And when Current disappeared, I was ended up on COBRA.
Right.
And to give you some idea, COBRA cost me about $700 a month. Well, that's a good chunk of cash when you don't have money coming in on a regular basis.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, for those of the millions of people that have written and said, why isn't Jackie on the new show? Because we cannot vaguely afford Jackie Schechter. Okay.
We can get Emmy.
You can have Emmy.
Yeah.
Do you have a sink?
Yes. All hers.
That's all
anyway,
she needs.
Go ahead.
It's in her rider. For those of you who don't know, Emmy's my cat.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm now the cat lady.
Yes.
The unemployed cat lady. Oh, no. I love where this is going.
Great. Do we need to play the Carlos bit?
Yeah. Jackie, are you there? Jackie, never mind. Okay. Right. I'm on the phone with the insurance company.
But COBRA in this situation, to sum up, may be the better coverage. And if you can afford to stay on it, it's expensive.
Right.
But if you can afford to stay on it until your Medicare kicks in, then I would suggest that you do.
Yeah. Some people just choose to stay with their incredibly oppressive, bitchy boss rather than have to risk the whole COBRA thing, right?
Of course.
Okay. Let's go to Claire in Texas. You're on with Jackie. Hello, Claire.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. First of all, I want to say that what'd you call her, the money-grabbing whore, is my state senator.
Oh, I was joking. I was being sarcastic. Because
I know. She's awesome.
She is awesome. I am so, I know it's a long shot. I'm so hopeful she's going to be your next governor.
Well, we're kicking everything we can down here, and y'all just need to come on down here.
I want to come on down there. We got to get a sexy liberal brigade down there, I believe.
That would be great to do the show down there and get Wendy Davis on stage.
Because that's her hometown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where's her hometown?
Fort Worth, isn't it?
Oh.
And I watched the State of the Union with friends of Bonfil the other night.
Oh, cool.
Bonfil of Asheville. All right, go ahead. What's your question for Jackie?
Yeah, but my question for Jackie, it's actually more of a supportive comment. I would like to be the official medical health care claims examiner for the Stephanie Miller Show now, because that's what I do. I'm sitting here typing in my computer right now.
Oh, I love that.
To work at home. But seriously, I've been in the business since like 75. I worked Part B claims, which are the easiest things for Medicare, and I have worked small groups and individuals. And all this stuff that Jackie's talking about is just the insurance company's way of taking what they used to do with pre-ex and all that other stuff to keep you from getting covered in the first place or to keep from paying you. This is their other way of gouging people, and they're using the ACA to excuse what they're trying to do because they can get away with it under the law. Insurance commission is a good place to start because each state has one of some sort.
Right.
And
right.
California's would probably be more dependable than, say, Texas.
Yeah. Quite possibly.
Listen,
they're a little more well-funded.
Jackie Schechter, like the president, has a pen and a phone. And
exactly.
There is nothing scarier than a pen girl with a phone and a pen. Even scarier than a black president. All right.
Which I don't have right now. But I'm just waiting to get to Medicare because that's just the way it is.
Yep, I hear
you, honey. I work for a big major.
We need
I don't work for Podunk anymore.
Right.
I work
one of the majors.
Yep, so. Yep. I hear
we
you.
Need Medicare right. for all.
Well, thank you. That was absolutely true. You know, I went to a doctor's office recently, and they have a woman in the office strictly dedicated to spending her day fighting the insurance companies and getting claims approved.
Yeah.
And actually, most offices I know now have that. Wouldn't it be amazing? I don't want to put these people out of work.
Yeah.
But wouldn't
it
be amazing if doctors' offices and facilities didn't have to employ somebody whose sole job it was to fight with the insurance companies all day long?
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's interesting. I understand what you're saying, too, about just a general distrust. I don't know if you remember, I had to go to the emergency room recently. I had a horrible flu and pneumonia, and I had to take an ambulance. And it was interesting. My friend Rob came, and I had said, I wanted to go to the hospital, you know, the closest one. Here, anyway, in the ambulance, they said, oh, they're not taking emergency patients. We have to, you want to go here? And I'm like, delusional. You talked to me. I was like, I'm not even thinking, like, which hospital does my insurance cover? I'm like, I don't know. I'm about to die. Can we just go somewhere now? Anyway, so Rob ended up going to the original hospital, and he said it was empty. The emergency room, and you go, wait, were they getting kickbacks from taking you to a certain place or something? Yeah. I'm like, I don't know. You know,
it's entirely possible.
The ambulance is its own company. It doesn't work for the hospital. So
But I'm like going, you're asking a person that's like delusional in the back of your room, where do you want to go?
How much cash you got on you?
Well, that's the best part is when there's the counter plan is people just need to have more skin in the game. Like, you just need to know what things cost, and you'll be more cautious with your health care expenditures.
Right.
Because when you're in an emergency situation, what you want to do is comparison shop.
Yeah. Right.
It's such a stupid argument.
Exactly. It was like, you know, where do you want to go for sushi? I was like, I'm about to pass out. Just
take me somewhere where they can make me feel better.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. All right. I have missed you so.
You know, that realized?
Oh, my God. I was your spinning guru. You were my gel nail guru, and we have the same color, isn't it? Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Yeah, but what people can't see, or maybe they can, is that yours look a lot better than mine.
I don't think so. BFF. Okay. 46 minutes after the hour.
That was
back
so
with,
girly.
With the remaining moments of Jackie's healthcare corner.
Really?
Shut up! Bunch of beasts. Be grateful for your healthcare and shut your pie hole.
Okay.
All right, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
She was abandoned by wolves and raised by Republicans. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Bubble butt. Bubble 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 butt. Bubble butt. Bubble 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 butt. Bubble butt. Bubble 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 butt. Turn around, stick it out. Show the world you got.
Jackie says, is this a song? Bubble
butt. They play it in our spinning classes. Not my class.
Well,
thank God.
All right. Listen, for someone that gets as many butt compliments as you do on the Twitter machine. All right. I know. By the way.
What?
All you Twitter pervs, Jackie Twitter pervs, Jackie has a boyfriend.
He's my boyfriend!
Hearts breaking across the country. Oh, look at her, look at her! This is going to turn into a...
By the way, where'd you meet him? One of those songs.
Where'd you meet him?
How long has it been?
6 months?
Something like that.
Congratulations.
Yes. Oh, it's all shiny new.
Yeah. Steph was
Jackie
Scheckner's
gotten a life since she, you know, since Current went away. Ours has only gone a downward spiral. Yeah.
It's amazing. You can meet other people who, other than the people who sit in this room when you actually...
What's your point about the people that sit in this
room?
None
of you are available.
Okay.
So, you know.
I sure don't want to
Not that Jim and I haven't tried.
Yes.
All right. So
I had to look outside of my work.
Rocky Mountain Mike Ritz. Can Jackie sleep over, please? All right, everybody.
Everybody
calm down. Everybody gentle down. A little bit of overexcitement with Jackie being here. 1-800...
I'm excited to be here.
Oh, we missed you so.
Did you hear it in my voice? I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, it seemed like meh.
Really
you had a meh. A meh.
Whatever.
It's really exciting. Snakes. Why'd it have to be snakes?
Okay. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Michael in Arizona with a question for Jackie. Hey, Mike.
Yes, I have a question. It's not actually for myself. It's my sister. She's very low income and has insurance for a long time. Went on to the ACA site. had no problems getting an account set up, but then got a identity verification thing. Apparently the site uses Experian credit agency, and she was given their number to call to verify her identity. So she calls them, and they couldn't do anything on the phone. This was last Thursday or Friday. Told her to call back Monday. She calls back Monday. They don't know what she's talking about.
Wow.
And they send her back to the website to see if she even has an account. So they hang up. She goes on the site, logs in, gets the same thing, calls Experian back. They go through this long, drawn-out thing about addresses, which my sister has moved from Michigan to Arizona a couple different times in the last 10 years. Bottom line, they tell her, we can't verify your identity. You'll have to go re-sign up or something at the site. And tell her they can't help her.
Boy, it's like Sandra Bullock in the net. She's been erased for some reason. Michael, what's your question?
What do we do?
Yeah, that's a good question. I actually haven't heard about any issues with identity verification, but it sounds like...
You know, she doesn't have any credit. She doesn't use credit cards. Hmm.
Yeah,
no
it
loan.
Sounds like that might be the problem, especially if she's applying for some sort of assistance or subsidy that they need to be able to verify that...
Well, she didn't even get that far. It was.
So
I'm sure she's
going to
qualify for subsidies because her income's under $20,000 for both of them.
She would qualify for Medicaid at that point if your state has a Medicaid expansion. Where are you located?
Arizona.
I don't know if they did.
I don't think. Yeah.
Arizona. Took the Medicaid money, but they didn't set up a site.
Right. No, Jan Brewer changed her mind. Didn't
she?
Did. Did
yeah,
take the Medicaid.
No, she did
yeah,
take it.
Right.
So that's probably something worth looking into is whether or not she qualifies for Medicaid. It sounds like she would.
Yeah.
And as far as the identity verification is concerned, my best bet at that point or my best guess of what to do at that point would be to try and call as opposed to navigating through the website. It may be a little clunkier, but it sounds like there's a hiccup somewhere. I haven't heard about the identity verification part
and you
yet.
You can also go in person, right?
Yeah, I think there are centers where you can go into and talk to somebody. So.
Right. Mike in West Virginia, you're on with Jackie. Go ahead.
Good morning, Mama.
Good morning.
It's Nurse Jackie, a.k.a. Unemployed Cat Lady. I just quickly wanted to say my wife and I are both self-employed, so we hadn't had insurance for quite some time. About 3 years ago, I was quoted $1,800 a month.
Oh,
so,
my God.
Yeah, and we actually got a policy.
And that was obviously Obama's fault, as you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
you have to live in your car now.
We got insurance for $350 a month to cover both of us.
That's fantastic.
Wow.
Just double check and make sure that you can get in and see, you know, doctors and facilities.
That's what I was going to follow up with. Now we're within 20 miles of four different states, but we have to use our in-network doctors, and unfortunately, that means using the West Virginia doctors. Yeah, so that's we're gonna. Well, you know, but at the very least, we have it, and I think this is a good step. That's
well, I lived in Hagerstown, Maryland, for a couple of years, so I can empathize. Yes, I understand what you say.
God,
Jackie, we joke about it, but not joke. But I mean, what are the chances you think we could get to single payer or Medicare for all or whatever if you know a lot of this these kind of things continue?
I think that eventually, over time, we'll work our way towards a system that mirrors that in other industrialized countries. But
with sane healthcare.
Yeah. But keep in mind that it took us this much of a fight to get this far, there's so much money in the medical industrial complex that it's a huge uphill battle.
Yeah.
What I would advise is people get angry enough and frustrated enough to start doing something about it. Start joining the campaigns that help fight for consumer rights. Make sure you vote, for God's sake.
Yeah.
I mean, make sure that you participate in this process. And if you're angry enough and there's enough of a mass movement, maybe we can fight this corporate money together.
We miss you so much. Please come back
again.
Please come back again. JackieSchechner.com, is that the...
JackieSchechner.com. I'm also on Twitter at Jackie Schechner. That's probably the most updated now.
We want to hug you and kiss you and love you.
Me too, you.
We love you, Jackie Schechner. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.